God wanted from the very beginning to have a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. He wanted every Jew to tell everybody else in the world that God wanted them all to be priests. That's what God wants, a kingdom of priests. That's what God has always wanted. Priests do certain things, and that's what God always has wanted. He wants to have an order of priests, not after the order of Levi, because Levi is only a temporary priesthood, and that priesthood is over with. Hello, do you understand me? There's no more need for priests, a priest class. Here the Roman Catholic Church has blown it. I'm not down on the Roman Catholics. I'm just telling you, that's wrong. It's wrong. God never intended there to be any priests. God did away with that in Judaism. And he said the old priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, the priesthood that started with Aaron, that's over with and done with. Read the book of Hebrews. Now there's a new order that Jesus started after the order of what? Melchizedek. That's us. Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He happens to be the high priest. He's probably Melchizedek himself. I don't know. But if he isn't, he's at least one in the eternal priesthood. But we are to be priests after the order of Melchizedek. And the biggest job of priests, no matter what else they do, is to minister unto the Lord. It's to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. That's the job of the priest. Now, it's not just for men. This is men, women, boys, girls, because at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell on all flesh, making us a kingdom of priests unto our God. Therefore, worship, ministering to the Lord, is the highest thing we do when we come together. It's the highest thing we do at all times and all places. You say, well, why do you say when we come together? Can't we worship God in our families? Can't we worship God at home? Can't we worship God on our own? Answer, yes. But God does not want lone rangers. God does not want us to be at home individually, great saints. You know what God wants? God wants a house. God wants a building. Only it's a spiritual house and a spiritual building. He wants people to be bound together into unity. Now, God has shown me some things here that I think are kind of exciting that I've never seen before about the house. Remember when they built the physical building, the glory didn't come. When they made sacrifices and put the ark in the Holy of Holies, the glory didn't fall. But when they began to worship Him, and the trumpeters and the singers and the cymbalists, and everybody did their thing, all the priests, remember these are just priests. When the priests got together and were unified, that's when the glory of God fell. And until the priests are one, the glory of God will not fall. Even though you're born again, even though you're filled with the Spirit, even though you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, even though your life is holy, it's not enough. But God wants us to come together in unity as a kingdom of priests to minister unto Him. And then the glory of God will fall. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says that God has called us to be a royal priesthood, every one of us. So everyone here is a priest. I want you to know that. Let's say it. I am a priest unto God. Let's say it. I am a priest unto God, even little children. I am a priest unto God. And one of the jobs of a priest is to serve. Take care of the building. It's one of the things they did. It's to minister. Minister unto the saints. It's another thing they did. It's to witness. To declare to the people what God has said, what God has done. But the highest, the biggest, the greatest, the most central purpose of a priest is to minister unto God and to do so in unity, to do so in unison. It's not hard to be a Christian. Well, it is hard to be a Christian. I would say it's hard to be a mature Christian on your own, but it's not impossible. But I'll tell you something that's impossible: to be a mature Christian in a church. That's what's impossible. You know, to get along with the people that are around about you. Do you understand that?
Amen.
It's hard to get along with the people. You know? It's hard to get along with people. People. That's like the person next to you. Look over at that people. Look at that people. That's people. You see the difficulty I'm pointing out? It's hard to love people, because people don't do what we tell them to do. Did you notice that? Did you notice people, they won't do it. They won't do what I want them to do. People are kind of, I don't know, they're kind of stubborn that way. Have you noticed? They just don't seem to understand that we got our own little picture of what everyone else is supposed to do, and when people don't do it, that makes us mad at them. And instead of showing our madness, we might just manipulate them anyway. You know, maybe we'll just ignore them. Or maybe we won't cook their supper, you know, or, you know, whatever. But we have ways. Maybe we just won't come to church anymore. That'll fix them. Or maybe we won't cooperate. Or one of the greatest things is we just won't smile around them. That'll really fix them. We're just not going to be happy. That's a really good way to punish people, isn't it? I'm going to look miserable. How do you like that one? You know, that's a good one, isn't it? Little children don't do that. Do they? But you know, that's a way we can punish people. You know, one of the nicest things you can do to people? Smile. Love them. Be happy. Be at peace. Be joyful. That's how to minister unto the Lord, isn't it? There's a lot of ways to minister unto the Lord. One is through your tithes and offerings. The Bible very clearly says this is one of the ways to minister unto God, to bring Him gifts. Not only tithes and offerings, but also talents. Not only that, but also time. God likes to have time. He likes to have your time. He likes to have your talents, to say, Lord, everything I am and have, it's yours to do with as you want. But that's not the only way to minister unto God. And matter of fact, I'm going to say that's not the most important way. Your tithes, your offerings, your talents, your time, that's not the most important. There's another way, and that's to minister unto people. To love the brethren, to witness to the lost. That's a wonderful way to minister unto God. If you want to love God, you need to love your neighbor. You need to edify the saints. But that's not the most important way. That's not the most important way. You can edify the saints, and I hope you do. And you can witness to the lost, and you must. But the most important way is to get lost in the service or the ministry to the Lord. And that's why we're here. So this morning, I want to teach you about worshiping God, because that's really the main purpose why we're here. Everything else grows out of this. Everything else grows out of our ministry unto the Lord. So when we sing, we're not just singing, but we're singing unto the Lord. And so I want us, as we go into worship today, I want us to close our eyes. There's no one way to do it, but just simply to forget everyone else. Stop what you're doing. I know a lot of you come here with problems. You've come here with marital problems. You've come here with family problems. You've come here with financial problems. You've come here with the burdens of the world weighing upon you and different things. But forget them. Hasn't God said, you know, I'll never leave you or forsake you? Hasn't God said, I'll never tempt you beyond your strength? Hasn't God said, cast all your cares upon me? Hasn't He said, for I care for you? Hasn't He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest? Hasn't He said, I want you to, look at, this is the whole purpose of your life. It's to glorify God by ministering unto Him. And He wants, the reason we come together at church, you don't have to come to church to worship God. You could do that at home. But the reason we come together is because God wants to be worshipped corporately. And the glory of God will never fall on this earth sovereignly until we begin to realize He will heal us, He will speak to us, He will reveal Himself to us, He will begin to do great and mighty things as we minister unto Him. Now, you don't need feelings to do this. You don't have to feel it. It's a matter of obedience. To raise your hands is not a matter of saying, well, I understand why I'm doing it. You don't have to understand. All you have to do is see that it's in the book. And to say, oh God, I love you, you don't have to feel that. It's not a matter of feeling. It's not a matter of understanding. You will never, ever understand fully why you're doing what you're doing. But I'll tell you this. God has created you in the beginning, and now He has redeemed you, recreated you as Christians to be priests unto Him, to minister unto Him in the way that pleases Him. So this is going to be hard to do. To shift our thinking from coming and singing songs, making an offering, and then listening to a nice message. That's generally why we come to church, you know, and seeing the other saints and, you know, being encouraged a little bit. But that's not the reason to come here. The reason to come here is because God wants to be ministered unto in the body. In the body. And that means all of us together. And you know, if you enter His gates with thanksgiving, it'll unify you. Because you cannot be thankful and divide. A thankful person is a person that's in harmony with God, with himself, and with his neighbor. A thankful person is in harmony, whereas a discouraged person, a griper or a complainer, is already broken from God, himself, and his neighbor. So when you enter with thanksgiving, when you begin your worship with, praise the Lord for all he's done this week, you know, he's done this and he's done that, and I'm just so thankful, and we begin to sing songs that thank God. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. I'm thanking God for being sweet, you see. Onward, Christian soldiers, whatever it is, I'm telling God how thankful I am. As I do that, as I enter in with thanksgiving and with praise, what happens? It unifies us. As you begin to worship God, a unity begins to be built among us. What happens is your soul becomes transformed and your spirit comes out. It's released. That's why we sing hymns. One of the purposes of singing hymns is to bring us into the very presence of God and into unity with our brothers and sisters so that we can minister unto God. Do you know that God waits? He's lonely. If you could picture God right now, He'd be crying. He'd be sad. Not because He doesn't love us or because we don't love Him, but because we won't worship Him as He desires to be worshipped. Very seldom, well, we want to hear His sermons and we want to know what He wants us to do and do some jobs to make sure we get into heaven or something. But you know what God really wants? More than anything else, He wants what Mary gave Him. Just to minister unto Him. Just to stay in His presence. Just to stand in the presence of God and worship Him and adore Him. I think this must be especially difficult for men to do. I think it's easier for women, but men, you have to learn how to do it. This is what God wants. You know, it's very much like lovemaking. You can't just jump into it and jump out. There's got to be a lot of foreplay. There's got to be a lot of preparation. There's got to be a lot of just, you know, doing a lot of silly things. You know, tickling one another, laughing, talking to one another, and so on. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, it isn't what comes naturally, okay? It's not natural for a man to do that. It's not natural, but it's right. And God demands that we spend a great deal of time in His presence, just tickling Him, you know, so to speak, and just saying silly things. Sometimes, you know, we get so sophisticated, we don't want to do anything silly. I know I was that way. I always resented when I'd go to a church where they would sing happy songs. I always felt it had to be Bach, you know. And I resented people that would sing, you know, something kind of sweet and happy. I resented that because I felt, well, that's not reverent. Because I came out of a tradition where, you know, everything was Bach, you know, and that's the way it was. And, you know, They weren't the kind of song you'd sing as you did dishes or as you were driving along, you know. You didn't usually sing, Almighty Fortress is our God. You know, the hymns were deep and majestic. Praise the Lord, there's a place for such majestic and reverent hymns. But you know, there's also a place just for singing love songs. For singing love songs unto the Lord. And for just singing songs that cause you to dance and to sing. Sometimes, like Michal, David's wife, we become offended by people who dance before the Lord. Doesn't that offend you when you see someone, happy in the Lord? You just think, they don't belong here. They should go to some Pentecostal church or something, you know. Hello, am I getting through to you? You just think, that's not appropriate. Did you know that God wants that? It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It doesn't matter whether you're impressed or not. You know what has to happen? Your flesh has to die. All that sophistication, unless one becomes like a little child. You know how little children are. You know, they just come in, ew! You know, and they don't know what they're doing. You know, they're just being themselves. Well, that's what God likes. God wants us to be quiet and reverent. He wants us to be noisy. God wants us to have the whole arena of human emotion to minister unto Him, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind and all thy strength, and the neighbor as the self. You know, God wants, He wants everything, doesn't He? Now, this is not a neat message to tell you. It's just the truth, that's all. You know, it's not one that'll make you inspire. Well, it's an inspiring message. You know, it's not meant to be inspiring. It's meant to be the truth. It edifies your inner man. I want to tell you something. When you're born again, you've been born again to worship. Jesus said, in essence, I came to restore true worship, that men might worship me in spirit and in truth. And you're not going to be able to worship God as a Baptist. You can't worship God as a Roman Catholic. You can't worship God as a Pentecostal. You can't worship God as a Greek Orthodox. You can't worship God as a Lutheran. Those are all what I would call partial worships. Because in studying the Word, I find that no body of people today have the full worship. And therefore, every tradition has strengths and limitations. Now, if we'd pull it all together, we'd have it all. Because every tradition has something, but no tradition. I know that not one tradition has all of it. In studying, each one has things that are different than the other, but it's all in the Bible. And what's happened is each church has picked out the things they liked or the things that appeal to them. But God wants to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. And God wants us to know that the glory of God will only fall when we come together in that unity or unison and begin to minister unto Him for long seasons of time. It's not the content. You know, I know what's going to happen because it happened to me, and it's happened to many of you. When you begin to worship, you feel awkward. You feel funny. You feel embarrassed. But as you just take it by faith and begin to worship God, you know, raising your hands. I remember the first time I raised my hands, I had to do it all alone because I was too embarrassed to do it in public. You know, and even when I felt like doing it, I just kind of, pull my hands up like this to say, well, God, I did it. I did raise my hands. I used to be down here, you see, and now they're up to about here. But it was kind of legalistic because I didn't want to be like this because that was too vulnerable. That was too childlike. That was too open, you know. I wasn't in control. I wanted to be in control. I didn't want to do anything foolish. And when I first began to speak in tongues, at first I resented and I said, well, I don't think that's in the Bible. And then when I saw it in the Bible, I said, well, I don't think it means that. I think it means something else. And then when I saw that it meant that and not something else, then I said, well, I don't think it's for everybody. And then when I found out Paul said, I wish you all would speak in tongues, I said, well, I don't think it's for, what am I going to say, for today, yeah. But you cannot worship God in spirit and in truth without a new language. Listen to me. You say, well, I can worship Him in English. No, you can't. You see, when you fall in love, you run out of words. You know? You can't just keep saying all the time, I love you, 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 I love you. You need some new words. And so God gives us a special language. You know, it's like when I was courting with my wife, and I would just go, you know, and stuff like that. You know, it didn't have any content to it. She didn't say, I didn't understand you. what do you mean by that? No, we would just, you know, we just look at each other and just ooh and ah and just whisper sweet nothings and so on. That's what tongues are like. They're like a language that comes from heaven that gives your spirit, not your mind. It's unfruitful for the mind. But it gives your spirit free rein just to say, and you just begin to praise the Lord without any hindrance. Now, I don't care if you like it. It's not a matter of feeling that it's impressive. It's for Jesus. If Jesus likes it, you say, well, I don't know if it's me. Maybe that's just me speaking. Maybe I'm just saying a bunch of gibberish. Look, when God says something in the Word, take Him at His Word. Seek God. If God says He's pleased, let's say it was just you. Let's say you just began speaking in a tongue and it was just nothing but you speaking kind of silly Hungarian, you know. That's all right. You know what God looks at? The heart. I don't believe God's going to give you a phony language. I don't believe the devil's going to sneak in there and give you something phony. I believe that when you step out in faith and say, God, I want to minister unto you. And I don't know what this tongues thing is all about, and I don't know what the baptism of the Spirit's all about, but I know one thing. I want to worship you with a free heart. I want to minister unto you in the way that pleases you. And that's what God says, and I'm going to give you a language. That's one of the signs of the new age. In the old age, they didn't do this. In the Old Testament, they never spoke in tongues like that. But one of the signs of believers in the new age is they shall speak in new languages. It is a language. It might be a language like Czechoslovakian. It might be Hebrew. But it also might be an angelic language. You don't know. Don't say, well, I don't think this is a language. Moo. You know, that doesn't sound like a language. Look, don't worry about it. Just get lost in the Lord and just begin to worship God. And don't say, well, it doesn't sound like pastor's language or doesn't sound like so-and-so's language. Just worship the Lord. God wants it that way. I'm just telling you what's in the Word. This is all in the Word. There's no mystery. There's no secrets here. If God wants to be worshipped and ministered unto, then we do well to pay attention to Him. A lot of you are going to say, well, I think I'm doing all right because my tradition taught me this. God is not going to judge you according to your tradition. Amen? Now say it again. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to know that tradition has no place among us. The only thing that has place among us here is God's Word. All tradition must go if it disagrees with God's Word. We have many traditions here. It's hard to get away from them. You can't. They're just all over the place. But as soon as we see that a tradition stands in the way of the power of God, then out with the tradition, no matter what. Out with the tradition. And God will give us grace on that and so on. But tradition, you may feel comfortable with tradition, but God is out in the business. You say, well, you know, for me to do that, I've never done anything like that. It's just so unlike me. That's right. That's correct. This is something that God wants to do to change you. How many know God's in the changing business? You know, He wants to conform you from one degree of glory to His Son. He doesn't want you to be fulfilled. He's not trying to fulfill you. He's not trying to develop you. You know what He's trying to do? To kill you. So that He can give you a brand new life and character and being. He's not trying to develop your natural abilities or your natural inclinations. God wants to destroy the flesh, the natural, that which is us, and give us a new life, a happy life, a joyous life. Amen? That's the truth. What I'm telling you is true. I have experienced what I'm telling you. None in here could have been as resistant as I. You could be as resistant, maybe, but not more so. But anyone in here could stand up and say the same thing. I'm sure most of us who have continued on in the Lord would have to say, God had to kill me along the way. Not once, but many times. Amen? He has to take your thinking and take every thought captive to the Word of God. He has to take your emotions and say, it doesn't matter how you feel about it, this is what I desire and want. God wants an obedient people who are a worshipful people who minister unto the Lord. So, the temple was built, the ark was brought in, the sacrifices were made, but until the people came together musically, not only to declare God's praises, but to sing them. You know, it takes a certain passion to sing and to play. It's more than just saying, God is great, God is good, you know. But to say, you know, just to sing right from our heart. That's what God desires and wants. So God wants us to minister unto Him. Your mind right away is going to slow you down, right? Let's take our minds, put your hand to your head and take your mind, throw it away. You know, take every thought captive to the Word of God. You got a new mind now, the mind of Jesus Christ. Now, don't worry about what you look like, what you sound like, what you feel like, or what you think like. Just begin to do that which pleases God. Now, this may take you a while. Maybe you'll fail at first. I want to tell you that every time I give a message, the first response is never amen. The first response is always yuck, you know, or I'll do it and then failure. So you may say today, okay, I'm going to worship God from now on, but you won't. You'll fail at first. But sooner or later, God will work this, not into your heart, but out of your heart, into your soul. So let's begin today to take that first step to ministering unto God. Let's just take some time right now to minister unto the Lord. Jesus said we are priests unto God, a kingdom of priests who not only need to minister to one another. Don't worry about loving people. Don't worry about witnessing to the lost. Don't worry about anything. Worry only about this, or think only on this. One thing is needful, that we might dwell in the house of the Lord. That's us. All the days of our life, for all eternity, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. That's what God wants, the one thing needful. Let's just close our eyes for a while, and I just want to invite people now to minister, sing in tongues, whatever. You say, well, what if we get in the flesh? It's okay. What if somebody gets bad in the flesh? God help us. You know, but don't worry about it. Sooner or later, we'll catch on. We're not gonna be able to not make mistakes. And if you get all hung up on some stage, I suppose later we'll get in trouble. But I would rather have a people that fall in the flesh than a people that are apathetic and do nothing. I would rather have somebody do the wrong thing than to do nothing. I would rather have people who try and fail than people who do nothing and never do that which pleases God. You might make a mistake. You might be wrong. I just want to tell you something. God forgives sinners. Okay? If you make a mistake, it's okay. And it may take you a while. But let's enter in now today at whatever level we can to raise our hands, to close our eyes, to worship God, to become passionate in our worship. Don't worry about feeling. Don't worry about thought. Just minister unto God. God is here right now. God is saying, Oh, my people, look at me. Just look at me. I want you to love me right now. I'll accept your love. I just can't tell you how much I'm pleased with you. I know God is so pleased with you. You're just the greatest people on the face of the earth. I really mean that. I just love you so much. You can't know how much. The things that we have done or the things that have happened are so miraculous, are so exciting. But I just want to tell you, God is pleased with you. But He wants to draw us on further and further into His very presence. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Let's just wait in His presence for a while. Not trying to manipulate anything, but just simply waiting upon God. Knowing that He wants us to minister to Him. And try to catch the flow, not individually, but together. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of our Lord God. Praise and honor and glory and adoration be unto you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise and glory to you, O Jesus. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Come and initiate a muso coriamoso, in a kiriamoso copania, egin in a capariamoso to the nichi, estin in a kitiamosoco, iriamoso, riamoso de nichi, riamoso. Blessing and praise and honor unto you, O Lord Jesus. How we love you, how we love you, how we would minister unto you this day. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come and initiate a muso, eating in a kitiamoso. Blessing and praise unto you, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Bless you, Lord. Lord, we just want to please you. We want to minister to you today. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your holy name. God, we've built the temple. We're born again. We've put the ark in the Holy of Holies. We've become sanctified, we're growing, we're getting cleaned up. We've made the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And now we just want to minister unto you and bring pleasure to your heart. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. Oh, praise to you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that you accept our praises, our stammerings, our groanings, our hesitation. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Us, because he first loved me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. For he is Lord, he is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Worthy thou art, worthy thou art, worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power, for thou hast created, hast all things created, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For He alone is worthy, for He alone is worthy. Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Him all the glory, we'll give Him all the glory, we'll give Him all the glory. Christ the You, Lord. Glory to God. Oh, we love You so much. Thank You, blessed Jesus. Jesus took our burdens and He rolled them in the sea. Yes, He rolled them in the sea. Yes, He rolled them in the sea. Jesus took our burdens and He rolled them in the sea, never to remember anymore. Now I'm so happy, just as happy as can be. I'm as happy as can be. I'm as happy as can be. Now I'm so happy as can be, never to remember anymore. Jesus took my burdens and He rolled them in the sea. Yes, He rolled them in the sea. He rolled them in the sea. Jesus took my burdens and He rolled them in the sea, never to remember anymore. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord God. You all may be seated. We have just a few minutes left. Some of you may have a word from the Lord or a testimony of something God has been doing in your life, and God's already told you even before you came here, or maybe He spoke something to you during the worship time, and it's just something brief. This is not the time for long testimonies. That's at night. Sunday night is when we have long testimonies. Come and tell all the details. But now is the time just to get up and say, you know, the Lord told this to me, or the Lord just wanted me to encourage you with that, and just to share how great God is. So maybe we could have two or three just share something God has said, something God has told you, perhaps about the message, perhaps just about your life, perhaps about the church, perhaps just something special that we don't know about.